And so you can turn there to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look only at one verse, verse 20 in that passage. You can actually take out your outline and just follow along all of the text that I'll be going through today that you should have received when you came in the door. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. Let me just read it and then prepare us for what we're going to see this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 20 says this, "By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau." Let me read it again. "By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau." Isaac is the son of Abraham, we've seen in weeks past. Isaac had two sons that he, in this story that we're going to see this morning, blesses. I'm going to ask just maybe one of my children, which you want to come, Anna? Would you come up here? All right, so my little Anna. I don't know if you had this growing up, okay? If you had a father who thought about your future, did you have that growing up? If not, I don't want to discourage you. In fact, I want to encourage you with what we're going to see today in God's Word. But Isaac, which we're going to talk more about today, he was a future-looking father. He had faith in the future favor of God upon his children. And so I'm sure it wasn't just the end of his life that he did this, but throughout his children's life, I'm sure he would lay his hands on them. Did you have a father like that? I think it's exceptional if you did. And I don't want you to be discouraged if you didn't. You'll see why in a moment. Did you have a father that laid his hands on you, that was thinking about your future, and who by faith in God's future favor prayed blessings over you? Oh God, would you bless my daughter Anna and her future? Would your favor be upon her? What a gift if you had that kind of dad. Thanks, Anna. Well, Isaac, which we're going to see this morning, was that kind of father. But what if this story that we're going to look at today is about more than just an earthly dad like Isaac? What if it's more about a heavenly father? That despite whether or not you had an Isaac-like dad, desires to lay his hands on your head. Even if you're an old man. Bobby, let me see that polished head you got. Wow, that's polished. Did you polish that for him this morning? What if this story that we're going to look at, because this passage in verse 20 of Hebrews 11 takes us back to the Old Testament. It takes us back to Genesis 27. And what if it's more than just Isaac and Jacob? What if there's a greater Isaac? What if there's a greater Jacob? Remember, Jacob's name is eventually changed to Israel. What if the Old Testament was never ultimately about an ethnic people group called Israel? What if this blessing by faith is more about the Heavenly Father this morning, laying his hands upon you in a very experiential way and speaking life over you and truth over you and healing over you and a future of favor over you? Well, without stealing the thunder, that's what this passage is about. And so I hope that us reading Genesis 27, now it's a long chapter, and so we're going to read the whole chapter, and I hope it whets your appetite to dive deeper and deeper into this glorious book. But even more than just diving deeper and deeper into this book, diving deeper and deeper into the God that this book points us to, who is so good and who is so gracious. And who loves us despite our past, who loves us in our present, and who will love us by his grace in our future. Despite us, because what you're going to see is that Isaac had a lot of problems. Ken, you know the story, don't you? Isaac had a lot of problems. That's one of the things I love about the Bible, Seth. It's real. It doesn't gloss over things. Everything is not happy-go-lucky, holy people doing holy things all the time. No, the story of Isaac is really, in a lot of ways, a tragic story of sin. And then, of course, Jacob is not much better. In fact, you're going to see Jacob is a lying deceiver at times that God works through and uses. Because listen, it's never ultimately about Isaac and Jacob. In fact, the point of the Old Testament is to prepare us for the ups and downs, the failures of people. And then Esau. You don't want to be like Esau. If you were ever in Sunday school growing up and the Sunday school lesson was be like Isaac, be like Jacob, be like Esau. Look, you don't want to be like Esau who sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. We'll talk about that in a moment. You don't want to be driven by your passions, your desires. You don't want to be driven by the winds and the waves of this life. And so, I hope that's just introductory material to help you better understand Genesis 27. And so would you stand with me as we read it? It's on your outline. You can turn there in your Bible. I'm going to read the entire chapter with the exception of the last verse and then actually a couple verses in Genesis 28. And so even before we read, would you pray with me once more? Father, I pray that you would show us wonderful things from your word even now. And God, that you would graciously cut out all distractions, that you would clear our minds, and that you would give us illumination and insight and revelation into your word. God, I pray for us in this moment, it would be more than just history, more than just names, that it would be a word from you to us. God, that you would grant personal and particular application. God, that you would speak to me, to us, in personal ways, through your word and by your spirit. Holy Spirit, come and do the work in our hearts that only you can. Chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will fill me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as of the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all of his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day?" And then chapter 28, verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him. And then verse 3 through 5. "God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham." You can be seated. I hope long readings like that don't get you lost in all the details. Let me try to simplify things for you. You ready? There was a man who had grown old. So old his eyes were dim. Do you see him? Look deeply into Isaac's eyes this morning. a man who has lived many years, who has loved well in so many ways, who has been loved well by his father Abraham. Remember? Remember the moment, the peak, the mountaintop experience when his father Abraham, because he believed that God provided, took his own son, his uniquely born son Isaac, and offered him up on the altar, on the mountain, and at the last minute, remember we saw this 2 weeks ago? And at the last minute, God provided a substitute to die in the place of his son Isaac. And so remember, we tried to put ourselves in the sandals of a young man, Isaac, probably a teenager at that time, and how he had seen over and over and over again God miraculously, supernaturally, and sometimes normally and naturally, provide for the needs of his people. But now, after years of seeing that, you still see Isaac's flaws, don't you? I mean, Isaac was a man of faith. We saw that in Hebrews 11, but don't think that just because he was a man of faith did not mean that he did not have flaws. In fact, now at the end of his life, Isaac, like us oftentimes, if we could be real, right? Isaac, like us, tries to take things into his own hands. You've never done that? You've never tried to take things into your own hands? I mean, well-meaning things like, of course, I want my children to be blessed, but rather than doing that God's way, I'll try to figure out how I can do it according to what I desire. I mean, think about it with me. Remember, God made very clear to Isaac that he was going to give him two children, but it would be the younger son who would rule over the older son. You see, God had a plan to bring the promised blessing to the nations through Isaac. They were twins, remember? His wife Rebecca got pregnant. She wasn't supposed to get pregnant. She was barren, we learn, in the Old Testament. And yet, a barren womb doesn't stop God from accomplishing his plans and purposes. He gives her, in his perfect timing, a child. And God not only gives her one child, but gives her twins. And Esau was born first, and so technically, he should have received the firstborn blessing. But God had a different plan. He wanted the secondborn, who was named Jacob, because as they were coming out of the womb, you ever seen twins come out? Ours have only come out one at a time, though I would really like to have twins one day. Maybe don't tell Heather. All right. And so the twins came out, and the first one out was Esau, but holding his heel was Jacob. Now, that's where he got his name, because holding his heel was a picture of how Jacob would trip people up. He would trip them up through deception. And so from the very beginning, remember Esau makes reference of that in Genesis 27, that heel grabber. And if that doesn't make sense to you, think yesterday, think Saquon Barkley, is that how you say his name, the running back for Penn State, or whatever your favorite college running back is. Think of him running down the field and somebody reaching out and grabbing his heel before he scores the touchdown and tripping him up. That's what Jacob was known for before God got a hold of him. But then even when God got a hold of him, he still struggled with lies and deception, which you see in this story. But before we get to Jacob and his flaws, again, Isaac, instead of blessing Jacob, wants to bless his son Esau. Why did Isaac love Esau so much? You know why? That the Old Testament tells us. Because Isaac was a man of the field. He was a hunter. And you could even smell it on him. You know how hunters sometimes smell. Some of y'all hunters in here smell right now like deer. I won't even say it. Hunters smell. And Isaac, I guess he was like a man's man. And And he saw Esau as a man's man. And Esau was one of those kind of guys that even from birth, he was born with hair. Some babies are born with like a lot of hair. And he was like the guy, I played sports growing up in Little League Baseball. I remember, you know, we would have like a tournament when we were 10 or 11, and we would play like a team out in the country somewhere. And there'd be some guys that would come up to bat at 10 years old having a full beard. You remember those guys? 10 years old, we'd be like, whoa, we're scared. I didn't even want to pitch to that guy. What happens if I hit him and he charges the mound and powell drives me or something? You know the kind of people I'm talking about. Full beard at 10, hair coming out of the chest. Eventually, when they had to shave their whole beard and their neck down to the... You know what I'm talking about. That's the kind of guy Esau was. He was just manly. And Isaac liked him. In fact, he loved him for that, and he showed favoritism to him. And so when it came time, at the end of his life, when his eyes had grown dim, he wanted to bless Esau. Even though God had made it clear that that blessing was to go to Jacob. You never do that? You've never taken something that you knew God wanted and you tried to take things into your own hands with good intentions and well-meaning, but blinded by your own love and passions and desires? But despite that, God still works, doesn't he? Because listen, you cannot stop God. You can't. Nobody can. I can't. You can't. Nobody can stop the Almighty. Not even Isaac in his old age, in his folly. And so he tries to bless Esau. And he says, listen, son, go out there, kill me some game, get your bow, pull it out. Take it down, come back, and make me one of those meals. You know those kind of meals that men love. Make me one of those meals. Now, all the while, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was listening. They didn't know she was listening. But wives and mamas sometimes hear things. How do wives and mamas hear things? Rebekah just did. And she overheard this conversation. And so you know what she does? Like a good and godly and faithful wife and mother, she concocts a plot and a scheme in which she's going to get her son to lie to his father in his old age. You would think that him being an old man that she would have her son to respect him and honor him. But no, she devises a plan and a plot for him to lie to his father, to pretend to be Esau. And so she says, all right, let me find one of Esau's outfits. And she goes over to the closet and she gets his outfit and he's put it on. And it's like, I don't know, a Carhartt jacket where you can smell the deer, you know, because he's been hunting. And he puts it on. And then you know, Jacob's like, but what if Dad wants to touch me? Because Dad does that sometimes. He wants to lay hands on us. And what if he touches my hands and my neck? And I'm a soft man. And Esau's a hairy man, and she says, I've got it. Go get a goat. Kill the goat. I'll cook the goat. I'll cook your dad goat steaks. Yes. Now, this might not be appealing to you, but to Isaac, he would have loved goat steaks. Greg, can you cook some goat steaks today for the fall festival? Maybe. We'll see if we can get that. All right? Goat steaks. And then, after you get the meat and I cook it, we'll take the skins, and we'll put those skins on you, on your hands, and on your neck, so that if your father touches you, he'll smell you because you've got on Esau's clothes, and he'll touch you and he'll know. And so Jacob says to his mom, who wants him to lie and deceive and trick ever so manipulatively and cunningly, okay, okay, mama. And so they get it all together, and he takes his father Isaac a meal before Esau can come back from his hunting trip. And he gets in there, and Isaac says, huh, is this my son? Are you my son Esau? And Jacob does what? He does what he does. He lies. Yes. And not only does he lie, and by the way, people will do this. Not only does he lie, but he brings God into it. Did you catch that in Genesis 27? Remember Isaac said, well, how did you get this animal so quickly when you were hunting? And he said, well, the Lord was with me. He lies, and then he brings God into his story. Welcome to the real world, right? That's what I love about this book. It doesn't sugarcoat things. It's real. It's honest. And so, sometimes even the Jacobs and the Isaacs will do things they shouldn't. Because it's never about Isaac and Jacob. You'll see that in a moment. And so he deceives his dad. His dad says, come over. He smells him. He touches him. He says, oh, it's the voice of my son Jacob. But no, this is definitely Esau. And so he blesses his son. And he says, oh, God, would you bless him with the dew of heaven? You know what dew is? It's kind of a weird blessing for us, but not for someone in the first century. Dew is what shows up on the grass or the land overnight. And it shows up even when the rainy season is over in the first century in Palestine, in Canaan, in Israel. And the dew descends from heaven. And so Isaac says to his son, may God bless you from the heavens, son, with prosperity even in the midst of the dry season. But not only blessing from heaven, Isaac says, God, would you bless him with the fat of the earth? And the fat of the earth is just the abundance of grain and wine and fruits and vegetables and meat. God, bless him with everything from heaven and everything on earth and make him the ruler over his brothers and make him a leader. Raise him up to lead, oh God. And so this is what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 says when it says that Isaac blessed his sons, Jacob, and eventually Esau. He invoked what? Do you remember? You'll see the verse on the screen again. He invoked future blessings upon Jacob and eventually Esau. Think about it with me. A father laying hands on his son, despite the deception and the cunning of a wife and mother, of a son. Add another piece to the story, right? Esau technically did have the birthright. Remember, he was the firstborn. But do you remember what happened in Genesis chapter 25? Do you remember the story? Do you remember when Esau, on one of his long hunts, came home, and Allison, probably like Seth, comes home sometime from a long hunt. Woman, where's my food? Just kidding, Seth would never do that. But when he comes home from a long hunt, sometimes he's hungry, right, Allie? All right, and so he's sitting there, Esau is, and he kicks his boots off, and he takes his jacket off, and lo and behold, Mr. Jacob, that homebody like he was, the tent dweller, had already cooked up some bread and some lentil stew. And you know, Esau loved him some food like his daddy Isaac. And sometimes, sadly, sometimes too much, men love them some food and some other things, by the way. And their love for food and other things drives them, doesn't it? Come on, be honest. Sometimes men can be so driven by their desires and their covets and their longings and their wants. And so for a bowl of stew on a long, hard-fought hunt, I mean, I'll do anything for something to eat. Just give me something to eat. And so he breaks out the stew, the lentil stew. Not the goat, but the lentil stew. Do we have the lentil stew? Okay, maybe we don't have the lentil stew. Envision with me a bowl of lentil stew. What's lentil? I don't know. I'm just kidding. I think it's some kind of beans. All right? And so there's this stew that's brewing and bubbling. And so he brings it, and then Jacob says, I'll give you some. I'm paraphrasing here. Go check it out, Genesis 25. It's in your outline, actually. He says, I'll give you some, but, Jacob says. And now what kind of man is Jacob? He's the kind that grabs the heel. He's a manipulator. He's a deceiver. He's cunning. And he's been planning this, Nick, for a long time, I'm sure. And he knows his brother, the way to his brother's heart is through his belly. There it is. That's what it looks like. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? It looks really good to somebody who's driven by food. And so here's Jacob. You ready? He says, all right, sell me your birthright. I'll give you this bowl of stew if you give me your birthright. Man, I'm just so hungry. I gotta have some stew, man. You can have my birthright. I don't care. He sells his birthright for some beans? But I'm sure they smelled so good at the moment. And I'm sure when he was eating them up, it just hit the spot. And I'm sure he was kicked back. He might have even taken a nap. And he's like, who cares about my birthright? I just want some food. Much like his daddy, right? Son, just bring me some food, Isaac says, and then I'll bless you. Bring me some of those goat steaks. And so Esau sells his birthright. Now, we're really in Hebrews 11, verse 20. But you know what I love about this book? It's amazing, isn't it? That the Old Testament relates to the New Testament, and it's telling one dramatic story of redemption. Did you ever catch the reference in Hebrews chapter 12 to Esau? Look at it with me. It's on your outline. You can turn in your Bible, of course. Hebrews chapter 12 actually refers back to Esau and him selling his birthright. And here's what it says in verse 16 through 17. It says this. It's a warning for us and for me. It says, see to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau. By the way, they often go together, don't they? If you can't control your belly, you probably are not going to be able to control other appetites that you have that are God-given. Eating is a God-given appetite, but you can abuse that God-given appetite. And so, sexuality is a God-given appetite, but you can abuse that too. And by the way, they often go together. And so, see to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for what? One meal. And some people will sell their marriage for one night. Some people will give up their careers for one fleeting moment of pleasure, or so they think. And so the Bible, God says, oh, verse 17, for you know that afterward, after that one meal, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. That's a good warning from a wonderful God. Be careful that you're not driven by your desires for anything other than your desire for God. And so Esau comes in, this man of passion, and he figures out that his brother has deceived him again, and he gets angry. And that's what people who are controlled by their passions do. If they can't control sexual purity, if they can't control their eating, they certainly cannot control their anger. And so he comes in and he says, my brother's done it again. He's done it again. What does he say he's going to do? Even the kids are getting this. I hope we get it too. He says, when my brother, as soon as our dad dies and we bury him, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Kill him! What's here? Jealousy? Anger? They always go together, don't they? Because you cannot separate your soul from your actions, your body. And so that's what happens. Now, How does she do it? Rebecca's over there, and somebody comes and tells her, Mama's find out everything. And wives find out everything. And so Rebecca's over there, and somebody comes and says, listen, Esau's going to kill Jacob. Now remember, Isaac loved Esau, but Rebecca loved Jacob. Maybe it was because he could cook and clean the tent. Maybe it's because his hands were soft. I don't know. But she loved Jacob. And when she heard that Esau was going to kill him, watch this. Don't miss this. She comes up with another plan to send him off to Haran, to her brother. And this is so helpful. She loses for a season what she was trying to gain in her plot and manipulation and lies. Do you see that? She wanted the blessing for Jacob, which was right, but she went about it the wrong way through deception and lies. And so now she has to send her son off to a foreign land because of the anger that was aroused through her lies and deception and the lies and deception of her son. Now, I'm not even going to try to piece all this together because this is beyond my pay grade. But I will say this. The messiness of sin and the messiness of this world and the messiness of your life at times in family still, get this, still cannot stop the plans and purposes of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't he amazing? Because all along, God had planned through the offspring of Abraham to bring a baby who would bless the nations. And then he said, through the offspring of Isaac, I'm going to bring that baby. And then through the offspring of Jacob, I'm going to bring that baby. And so, right, the New Testament author, Matthew, who was a Jewish man writing to a Jewish audience who was very familiar with the book of Genesis, he comes on the scene in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. It's on your outline. It's on the screen, too. And he says this, the book of the genealogy, that is the family tree, the family story, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob. What I want you to see is that these stories in the Old Testament are not just about an earthly father blessing his earthly son. No, it's even bigger than that. It's not less than that. There's multiple layers, right? And so you can learn things from a story like Genesis 27, but realize that it ultimately points to the only hope for a messed up Isaac, a messed up Jacob, and a messed up Esau, and a messed up me, and a messed up you, in a messed up world. The only hope for future, don't miss this, the only hope for future favor, future grace, future blessing is Christ, is Jesus. The greater Isaac, who would die in our place for our sins, and the greater Jacob, the greater Israel, because remember, Israel fails over and over and over again, and they go into exile over and over and over again, and they stiffen their necks and they shut their ears over and over and over again, but God, in his mercy and kindness and grace, comes to us and he puts his hands on our head when we trust in Christ and he says, blessed are you, my son and daughter. blessed are you. Your future is good. And one person makes the difference. And it's not you or me. It's Christ. Now, I'm done, but I want to show you two more passages quickly. You ready? Because this story is one that continues to come up over and over again in the New Testament. Think with me about Romans chapter 9. You ready? Romans chapter 9. All right, I'm going to read verse 7 through 13 for you, and I want you to see how Romans chapter 9 and this teaching, this profound teaching about election, is connected to these stories. You ready? Verse 7. Not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. That's key. Our man Isaac. Verse 8. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Understand? Verse 9. For this is what the promise said. About this time next year, I will return, Abraham, and Sarah shall have a son. Remember Isaac. Verse 10. And not only so, but also Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, had conceived children by one man, our forefather, Isaac. Verse 11. Though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Which means, Jacob I loved, but Esau I loved less. Meaning this, that it would be through Jacob that the promised one would come. Don't miss this. It would not be through Esau that the promised one would come. Not through Edom. It would be through Jacob, Israel, that the promised one would come. And the promised one is the elect one. And if you put your faith in him, you become a child of Abraham. Not according to the physical lineage in which you were born, but through the spiritual rebirth in the Holy Spirit that comes when you trust in Jesus. God's promised son, not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob, but Jesus. Make sense? There's more. Think with me about Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, same thing. You ready? I'm trying to help you to see how wonderful this book is. Better than any YouTube video you could watch, better than any movie you could go to tonight, better than anything that you could spend your time doing. Not that there's not a place for other things, but this is so good. Watch this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Yes! Even if your father was crummy, even if your father didn't bless you, even if your father cursed you, you'll never become anything. You're just a hindrance to me. Get out of my house. I never want to talk to you again. I never want to see you again. If that was the kind of dad that you had who cursed you, or if the dad that you had didn't say a word because he was never there, and he was absent and he was silent, regardless. Watch this. There is a heavenly Father who will lay his hands on you now and say, blessed are you if you put your faith in the Son who was born in the fullness of time. Because through faith in the Son, the elect one, you become a son. That's not all. Let's keep going. Verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. That's future favor, right? Heirs have future favor. They have future grace. They have future blessing. An heir can look to the future and say, even if I'm a pauper or a poor man, now in the future I get due from heaven. I get the fatness of the earth, grain and wine, and all of God's abundance. How? By faith. Think about it with me. Verse 21, we'll skip ahead. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. So we're talking about Abraham first. Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman. Remember Hagar? Remember when Abraham tried to take things into his own hands? Remember when his wife Sarah tried to take things into her hands and said, hey, sleep with my servant? And he does. He says, by the slave woman, and then one by the free woman. Eventually, God gives another son through Sarah. Verse 23, but the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. It was all about human people trying to get their own way. While the son of the free woman was born through what? The promise. Verse 24, look. Now this may be interpreted, this is allegorically. Of course there's a place for allegorical interpretation when God says there is. And so he says, interpret this allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She's Hagar. Verse 25, now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem from above is free. She is our mother. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you brothers, here's it, I'm done. Verse 28, now you brothers like who? Isaac. You brothers like Isaac are children of promise. That's it. Now, verse 31 says, so brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, he goes on, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Do you see the contrast? It's not about family lineage. It's not about bloodline. It's not about babies and bodies and those things. It's about Jesus. And it's about whether or not you have been set free from your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin by putting your faith in the promised one, Jesus, just like Isaac did, and just like Abraham did, and like we saw in weeks past, just like Enoch did, and just like Noah did, and just like Abel did. Let's pray.